Welcome to Syracuse Speaks, a Syracuse Crunch-centric podcast. I'm your host, Alex Ackerman. This is season 6 of Syracuse Speaks. Let's get started. Hello on this, what is today, Thursday? I believe it is Thursday. And I have a lot of energy tonight for various reasons. So I actually figured I would sit down tonight and record as reactionary as I can get while still having to work a regular job and take care of myself in my apartment reaction to the news that came out today. It is news I am very excited about. One of the pieces of news is something I have been waiting for forever for to be able to say, and I am incredibly happy that I get to sit down with you all whenever you are listening to this and talk about this with you. Before I start, though, and if you don't care about what I'm about to say, I'm going to try to keep it to under a minute. I have my voice going and the timer going, and so I'm going to try to keep this to under a minute. I am well aware that the creator of Harry Potter has probably hurt quite a few of my listeners. I am aware that she who must not be named has proven to be a not very nice person. I am very much someone who is in favor of separating the art from the artist. I honestly do not think of Harry Potter as being hers anymore, because so many people and creatives have put their mark on that series. However, if you are someone who has been hurt by her, I am sorry. Please know that I absolutely understand why you cannot share in my joy. And also, it's not branded what I'm about to talk about. So come as Mickey, come as Gandalf. Whatever you need to do to still have fun with this, just know that I understand and I see you and I am sorry and my love is with you. Okay, I said what I needed to say. That was a little bit over a minute, but y'all know me by now. It's very challenging for me to not say all the things all the time. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be more succinct. Sometimes I succeed. Sometimes I fail. So what caused what I just said? What has me so just utterly excited and just beside myself tonight? Well, here we go. So this afternoon, this morning, at some point today, the Crunch released their 2023-2024 promotional schedule. Many of us have been predicting for a long time that this promotional schedule was going to be a fun one. It's the team's 30th anniversary season. There's going to be some times to celebrate that. There's going to be times to celebrate how far this organization has come in 30 years. And the promotional schedule in this light has not let us down. Okay. So what do we have on this promotional schedule? Obviously, the Crunch's home opener, Saturday, October 14th. It's 30th one in team history. It's going to be big. They have a banner giveaway. I don't know what that's going to look like, but it'll be interesting to see. Pink in the Rink is happening again on October 27th. That is always a wonderful game to attend. It's a wonderful cause. The usual Halloween Spooktacular is going on, Military Appreciation Night, Hockey Fights Cancer with specialty jerseys. One of the things that we absolutely love about the promotional schedule every single year is that we as Crunch fans get to find out what specialty jerseys we get to look forward to all season long. The Hockey Fights Cancer jerseys, the lavender colored jerseys, have been a highlight of the specialty jersey season ever since Syracuse started doing them a couple of years ago. They're always gorgeous. They always look amazing. The blue and the lavender and the purple that the team uses go together so well. And it is always an exciting time to see what these jerseys look like and to see how they look under those wonderful lights in the War Memorial, where pictures and things turn out so gorgeous. So very exciting to see that those jerseys will be back again. We're into November at this point in time. Star Wars Night is happening on November 25th. So Hockey Fights Cancer, just to give you a little bit of a orientation in the dates right now, in case you don't have the promotional schedule right in front of you. Hockey Fights Cancer is the Friday after Thanksgiving, Friday, November 24th. Star Wars Night, Saturday, November 25th. Tired Teddy Toss, which is another amazing promotional event that the team does every single year, where fans bring their used stuffed animals or their new stuffed animals, and they toss them onto the ice after the Crunch's first goal. This is definitely a minor league tradition that is not to be missed. That is going to be Saturday, December 9th. So that game is against Utica. So it's always an amazing time watching those stuffed animals fly and seeing the players pick them up and all of those things. Always very fun. Then on Saturday, January 13th against Cleveland, Syracuse has, for the first time ever, a Wizarding Night on their promotional game schedule. Those of you who have been following me for, you know, I don't know, 10 years or so, if you're out there, I know you are, and I thank you very much. Know that I have been begging this team to do a Wizarding Night. You know, if you followed my podcast for longer than a season or two, that I actually did an entire podcast episode a couple of years ago about ideas for a Wizarding Night. I did all of the work for them, short of like buying the things and actually planning how to do it. I gave them all of the ideas they could ever possibly need based on what other minor league teams have done for their own Wizarding Nights. I have been asking for this for years, and I am so flipping excited that we get our Wizarding Night this season. 30th anniversary season, Wizarding Night, January 13th. The weather better not ruin this for me. If the weather ruins this for me, I swear to God, if a storm is coming in, I'm just going to stay overnight in Syracuse. I'm not even going to risk it. I'm not going to deal. I'm gonna figure it out. I am, as you may have gathered from what I felt I had to say at the start of this episode, I am and will remain a major Harry Potter fan. As a millennial who kind of grew up with Harry Potter, it came out when I was in, I think, middle school. I really didn't start reading it until I was in high school, but that was right around the same ages as the characters in the books. So the characters in the books and myself, we became adults together, really, in a way. And this podcast is not about Harry Potter. I can't turn this podcast into Harry Potter because you, my beloved listener, do not care. But Harry Potter gave me a place to belong before the Crunch was ever even a consideration in my life, when I struggled to find a place to belong. I am a Hufflepuff. I am a proud Hufflepuff. I love the series. I love what it means. And the last three words of the series, which for those of you who have read it, you know that that those last three words are always well. I have held on to those words for a very long time. So, this series means a lot to me. There are a lot of other wizards out there that, if you do not feel the same way about this series, or if you are struggling, as I have said, with some of the things that she who will not be named have said. I get it. There are other ways, since it's just wizarding night, you can come out and you can still celebrate with us. Please come out and have fun. I can't wait to see what accompanies wizarding night. I am so excited for this. It means a lot to me personally that this is on the promotional schedule. Harry Potter's really special to me, and I've been waiting for these two things to come together for a really long time. So that made my day. There were a couple other things that happened today. That today was a pretty good day, and it really started out with seeing that this night was finally on the Crunches schedule. So for those of you who just sat through that, I thank you. I thank the team for doing this and putting it on the schedule. And I'm beside myself with being just excited and all the feelings about this. So that takes us to about the midway point in the year. Looking at the rest of the schedule, the excitement is not done, everybody. Oh my goodness. So Monday, January 15th, it's the usual Monday matinee on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, 1 o'clock against, oh, look, it's Utica. Utica is on a lot of these nights just by sheer probability. When you see a team 14 times, chances are they're going to land on your promotional nights. So that's the Monday matinee. Saturday, January 20th, especially if you are a member of Gen X, right? Yes. Or a millennial, you're going to want to have this night also circled on your calendar. It is 90s night, everyone. Again, Utica's in town. Great. But that's going to happen. 90s night we have. And I am also very excited for 90s night. I am 100% a 90s baby. I was born in the 80s. And, you know, I really, as many millennials, elder millennials in particular, I really came into my own in the 90s. 1997 in particular was my year for music. That was the year that when scientists who study these things talk about like what music shapes your tastes for the rest of your life. 1997, that's what we got. I'm very excited to see 90s night. Friday, January 26th is racing night. I know that there are crossover fans that will enjoy that night. Saturday, February 10th, another night that is going to be good because it's always good, is Hockey is for Everyone night. My guess is this is the You Can Play game. And, you know, this is obviously a theme that the NHL in particular has tried to say and has mostly failed with their policies. But I actually think the AHL does a better job of this than any of the other leagues in really showing that hockey is for everyone. The initiatives that the Crunch themselves undergo, the initiatives that the league has undergone, we're getting there. We're not there yet. It's a great slogan. We're not there yet. But it's an important night nonetheless. I think that it's a time to acknowledge the dream that everyone will feel secure playing hockey. Everyone will feel secure cheering for hockey. Everyone will feel secure talking about hockey. I think it's a wonderful dream to have. And I think that the more we bring attention to the fact that we're not there yet, the faster we will eventually get there. So great to see that, and great to see that there's specialty jerseys that night. My guess is those are the pride jerseys that the team usually wears, although I could very well be wrong because obviously the phrase hockey is for everyone is not necessarily only connected to the LGBTQ plus community. It is also connected to those of color and other groups that have felt marginalized within the hockey community. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of specialty jerseys come out of that evening. Saturday, March 9th, we are entering the home stretch, but oh, you wait. There's something coming up. You're going to like it. We have Superhero Night. Wonderful. Batman, Wonder Woman, the Avengers, all those lovely people. Superhero Night. Saturday, March 13th. Y'all, we have, for one night only, the Syracuse Canal Mules Night featuring specialty jerseys. I intentionally paused to let that sink in for a second because I don't know what you all are picturing when you think about a jersey featuring the Syracuse Canal Mules. Oh, it's going to be good. Oh, I trust this organization enough at this point in time to know that whatever they come up with, it's going to be good. I actually felt like I had to very briefly give a history lesson on my Twitter today because a lot of my followers are not from Central New York. And even those who are, unfortunately, New York curriculum doesn't do a super great job of focusing on the 1800s to like the early 1900s. School curriculums, and I can say this, I was a teacher. I'm still an educator, although it is in a much different role. But the school curriculums in New York State tend to do a really, really nice job focusing on the early history of the state with the Haudenosaunee and the nations that made up, you know, the Seneca, the Cayuga, Onondaga, all of them. They do a really nice job with the American Revolution. They do a really nice job with the Civil War. Maybe, I don't know. I don't really remember, to be honest with you. That tends to be older kids than what I taught. They do a great job with World War I and II, Vietnam, and then they sort of run out of steam because there's only so much time in the year and everything gets condensed. What gets skipped a lot of the times and is really only focused on for a very brief period in elementary school is the Erie Canal and how important the Erie Canal was to Central New York and the communities on the very north end of Central New York. And also, as I have learned since I moved here, the communities in the southern tier. The Erie Canal basically built the economies of Oswego, New York, which is where I'm from, down to Syracuse, because it connected those cities to the St. Lawrence River and Lake Ontario and all of the ports along the way. Where I am from would not be the city that it became without the Erie Canal. The Salt City of Syracuse would not be what it is without the Erie Canal. And even Binghamton and the areas around Binghamton where I currently live, they would not be what they are if it wasn't for the Erie Canal, because the Chenango Canal became a thing because of the Erie Canal. There is a lot of history involving the Erie Canal that runs through this part of New York State. The mules, for those of you who don't know, pulled barges on the canal. You can Google it. I promise you, it is a thing. The 15 Miles on the Erie Canal song starts out with a little brief story about a mule named Sally. Like, it exists. It's a thing. Please go look it up. There's a really rich history around all of this. To have the Crunch take that history and focus in on probably the only mascotable part of it in these animals. It's great. I love it. As a history person, you can tell that like I'm almost as excited about this as I was about Harry Potter. I mean, I'm not almost in tears, which is, in case you didn't notice, where I was before. But like, I am almost as excited about this as it was about Wizarding Night. So this is great. I can't wait for the jersey reveal to see what these things look like. I am so flippin' excited about this. I can't wait. So that'll happen on Saturday, March 30th. Pucks for Paws is coming back on Saturday, April 13th, which is always a wonderful event for the Priscilla Mahar Animal Welfare Foundation. I could take or leave the dogs, especially since like last year we had a couple of season ticket holders who felt like they were too good for the rules and brought their dogs into our section, which and I know that I'm risking a lot by revealing this because people look at you like you've said you drop kick babies across the floor when you say this, but I'm going to say it. I'm not a huge fan of dogs. I will be honest with you. I'm not afraid of them, but there's a reason why the Crunch wants the dogs in a section. Easy access to the outside. If people don't like dogs or don't want to deal with them, they don't have to. You know, it's a fun night. I would never be like they shouldn't be in the War Memorial at all, but there's a reason why rules exist. So, you know, I could take or leave the animals coming, like fine, whatever. But as someone who does love animals, cats in particular, I am also a huge fan of otters, for those of you who are unaware. I love animals. So any event that goes towards animal welfare, especially since so many pets in particular only end up in peril because humans suck sometimes and treat animals terribly. So, you know, that there's that. I'm excited for it. And then finally, last home game of the regular season, Saturday, April 20th, there's the usual team photo giveaway. I love this promotional schedule. I don't think I've ever really been able to say that before. I don't think I've ever really thought to myself like, wow, that's a great promotional schedule. The Crunch always does their promotions really well, especially since the Lightning partnered with Syracuse. I think that does have something to do with it, but it's just so exciting that this promotional schedule, especially in the 30th anniversary, is so strong and so fun. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how all of these evenings unfold. After all of that, what could I possibly still have to talk about? Well, I will admit, not much. Originally, this episode was going to feature an idea from Lee Wright, who is still covering the team for Raw Charge, which, by the way, Raw Charge has a new affiliation with a few of the other SB Nation, SB Nation sites that were able to retain their own identities. The network is called the Four Hockey Fans Network, and Anaheim Calling, which, as some of you, again, if you've been with me for longer than, oh God, a decade, oh my Lord, we're so old. Okay, no existential crises tonight. So if you've been with me for longer than a decade, you are well aware that I actually got my start with SB Nation and Anaheim Calling in the final year of the Anaheim Ducks affiliation. Final year sounds really impressive until you remember that Syracuse was only affiliated with Anaheim for two very miserable seasons. So Anaheim Calling, as much as the Anaheim NHL organization is not my favorite group of people, Anaheim Calling was wonderful to me. Coming into that level of expected professionalism and not just being out on my own in the wild, wild west of the old, old glory days of Chairman Howe's glorious army, which is a true throwback to you OGs out there from way back in the day of the 2008s, 9s, and 10s. Stepping into that world of professionalism and requirements and deadlines and actually needing to have something to say was incredibly beneficial for me as a hockey media person. Whether it's pseudo media or not is a conversation for another day. They were great to me. And it was my affiliation with Anaheim Calling that when the Lightning moved to Syracuse, that rolled over to Raw Charge. They welcomed me in, and I am still kind of an honorary alumni with Raw Charge. I still keep up with all of them. I'm still in their Slack room. They still include me and my votes in the top 25, under 25. They have never restricted my access to their world, and they have let me know several times that they value my input. So I just want to give a shout out to my friends at Raw Charge. Congratulations on the Four Hockey Fans Network. I am so excited for that entire family of blogs. And I really hope that as Crunch fans, you are following them and that you will be following Lee's writing for this upcoming season. I talked to him a couple times last season. Once I get this whole independent thing figured out, I will be having guests on again. It's just right now I've lost access to the paid Zoom account that I was previously able to access, and I'm not entirely sure with the technology that I have what I'm going to do with that, but I'll get it figured out eventually. I will be having guests on again. I can't wait to have Lee on. Very long story made longer. What I was originally going to do for this segment was talk about some of the Crunch teams in team history that have been really good on paper, but then flopped. And conversely, the teams that did not look that strong on paper and then went on to exceed expectations. But first of all, the promotional schedule segment took up a lot of my time tonight because I was just so excited about it. I couldn't shut up about it, as you probably noticed. So I've decided that I'm not going to do that tonight. I will do it eventually because I do think it could be a fun topic to explore. But for right now, as we head into the final minutes of the podcast, the Lightning has started their training camp. So Syracuse, Lightning hopefuls, Lightning players, and Syracuse players are all in Tampa right now. They got on the ice today. Those things are all happening. One of the things I addressed on my Twitter earlier this week was that Gabriel Dumont, the current captain of the Syracuse Crunch, and Daniel Walcott, the current alternate captain, I am sure, of the Syracuse Crunch and conceivable second in command, I think would be safe to say, were invited to the Lightning's training camp. This is not necessarily unusual for the Lightning, but I do think it is unusual for NHL teams in general. I would love it if there are fans of other NHL teams who listen to this podcast who would talk to me about this specific topic, because I find it fascinating and interesting and a really true reflection of organizational culture. Walcott and Dumont are on AHL contracts this upcoming season. Dumont has 1 year left on his original two-way extension. Walcott was re-signed not that long ago to an AHL contract. So because of their contract status, neither one of them, as it stands, can be called up to the NHL. They would have to have their contracts rolled over into a two-way contract so that you can move between the two leagues, a la JP Cote of a couple years ago. He's one of the only people I can think of in the Lightning organization's history, with Syracuse anyway, where this has happened, where they were on an AHL contract, it got rolled over into an NHL contract so that the player could get called up. That is very rare. There is a reason why players are on AHL contracts, and it is not to be recalled to the NHL. So, Walcott and Dumont are on AHL contracts. Walcott is no stranger to this organization. He's been a consistent contributor and player in this organization since, what, 2014? He has been with this team for his entire professional career. He has been with the Lightning. He has played with the Lightning. He has made history with the Lightning as a member of one of the first all person of color opening lineup in league history. So, like, they know him. Dumont has played with the Lightning, has been with Syracuse for a giant chunk of his career. He has been captain of this team now for a good couple of seasons. He is well known by the organization. Walcott is well known by the organization. The Lightning really benefits not at all from having them at training camp. But you know who benefits? Dumont and Walcott. The level of respect that it's showing to the two of them to have them there is high. The fact that they get to work with NHL personnel, they get to experience a little bit of that, a little taste of what is perhaps, probably, more than likely in their pasts and not to be in their futures is big. It shows respect for the leadership core of your AHL team. It allows them to start developing those relationships with the new younger guys that are in training camp that are going to be in Syracuse. And it allows them time to begin to get themselves where they need to be to start the season in Syracuse and start strong. I think it says a lot of the Lightning that they have those guys there. And I know that there's other players that are there that are also on AHL contracts, but they're younger. I think, like, I don't know if Daniel Walker, I think I saw, and I think he's on an AHL contract, but they're younger guys. You know, they're guys that maybe in the future might have NHL time there. Dumont and Walcott don't, but yet they're still there. And I just think that's really cool. So, you know, the Lightning's preseason starts on Tuesday, September 26th, the game against the Carolina Hurricanes. They will probably begin cutting players to send to Syracuse not long after that, because Syracuse's own training camp will be the first week of October. Syracuse's Welcome Back to Town event is, I believe, what is it, October 3rd or 4th, somewhere in there. It's in that first week of October. And obviously, you need to have a team to welcome back to not your town. So there will be players coming down that first week of October for Syracuse's training camp. I'm sure Dumont and Walcott will be some of the first cut just because they're not on NHL contracts. So Syracuse will start having their own team assemble not long after the Lightning starts their preseason. And then as the Lightning cut more and more players, Syracuse's roster will fill out. There's a preseason game on October 5th in Rochester. There's a preseason game in Syracuse on October 7th. And then the regular season starts the following week. So things are moving. Things are happening. One of the other things that, really one of the last things I have to talk about, is Coach John Cooper today was asked the inevitable Alex Barry-Boulay question. I feel like this was like, you know, Coach Ben Grew is obviously no longer with the organization, but it seems like the past couple of summers we went through the will he or won't he conversation all summer long. Mirrored to that conversation was the Barry-Boulay conversation. So Cooper was asked just today about Barry-Boulay and whether or not he felt like he was going to, quote unquote, break through to the NHL this season. And here's what Cooper had to say. He has proven all that he can prove in the American League. Yeah, I agree. And that's what you want to do. There are spots on this team open. You got to play to your strengths. The kid can put the puck in the net, so put the puck in the net. Interesting, because not that long ago, it wasn't put the puck in the net. It was work on your two-way game. So it does seem like the expectations have shifted a little bit. And maybe this reflects the maturity in Barry Boulay's game. Maybe it's finally at the place where the Lightning feel as though he has balanced the defensive aspects of what they want their forwards to be able to do with the two-way game, which basically means you're playing, you're strong or as strong as you can be on both ends of the ice, whether the puck is in your zone where your goaltender is, so you're trying to help out your goaltender and keep the puck out of the net, or you're strong in the other end of the ice where the opposing goaltender is and you're trying to score. So for the long time, that was the focus on Barry Boulay, was that his defensive skills were not where the Lightning wanted it to be for a forward of his caliber. So now it seems like it's shifted a little bit. And again, maybe this is just reflective of where the organization is at this point in time. Maybe it's reflective of how Barry Boulay's game has grown over the last couple of years. But I think this is pretty indicative. As long as Boulay can shake off the nerves that I'm sure he's probably going to be feeling and do what we all down here in Syracuse know he can do, I think we can say, without being too conservative, that Barry Boulay will probably stick with the Lightning. Notice how I still had to hedge my bets there and say probably, because I hate making predictions, because I can tell you right now, I don't want anybody coming back to me in 4 weeks and going, see, I told you, when Barry Boulay gets sent down or claimed on waivers as has happened at the beginning of last season. I hate that. So I'm still hedging my bets because I just can't help myself. But I thought this comment was interesting enough to bring up as we look towards preseason festivities and everything else that we have going on right now. Yeah, so it was a good day. It was an interesting day. Thank you all, as always, for coming along with me on this journey. And I would love to know what you think of the promotional schedule. I would love to know what you think about Barry Boulay's chances. Please reach out to me on social media. My handle is at Allovimo, A-L-L-O-V-I-M-O. I hope to hear from y'all soon. I think that will do it for this week's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I crave interactions and feedback, so please feel free to get in touch with me over Twitter. And I'm still calling it Twitter because I refuse to call it the new name. My personal Twitter is at Allovimo, as always, A-L-L-O-V-I-M-O. Keep taking care of each other out there in Crunchland, and I will see you next time.